This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Well, joining us today on the program is going to be Don Messick, who is the regional labor economist. We'll talk about the jobs figures for Chelan and Douglas County in our second half hour. Kicking things off for us, we welcome John Cruz, who is, of course, the host and producer of Northwestern Outdoors Radio and American Outdoors Radio, which is keeping him very busy these days, as, folks in the Wenatchee area would know after a long law enforcement career with the Wenatchee Police Department, living everyone's dream, and that is to retire to their true passion. So, John, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And before we get into talking about what's going on with the salmon fishing season, or lack of it here for the most part here, particularly in our neck of the woods, that you keep up to date on all that sort of stuff, let's kind of recap a little bit. You were in law enforcement for many, many years, and started kind of just slowly fostering this this outdoor writing career, and just built it in to your great post law enforcement career of producing these award winning shows that we are on KPQ. And how many stations are you on with the two different programs around the country or the Northwest?
Well, we started on KPQ back in 2007, and then it was The Great Outdoors, and that was the only station we were on. Started syndicating in 2008, changed the name to Northwestern Outdoors to become a regional show. And believe it or not, I never thought we would reach this, but we are on 75 stations in seven states every week. It's amazing to believe, and KPQ is still our flagship station.
Well, we're glad to have your program. And for folks that don't know anything about this, that is a lot of stations. As you well know, it's been a long process to get there, but that is a lot of stations. So you should be proud of that. The Northwestern program kind of obviously focuses on our region, but your other show focuses on the pursuits all around the country.
It does, and it's really been challenging and fun at the same time to stretch my wings. Anyone who's heard the show knows I'm no expert. I'm an enthusiast when it comes to outdoor recreation, fishing, hunting, and I'm very passionate about conservation issues. But there's a whole lot of stuff out there in our United States I don't know a lot about. So being able to reach out to experts and learn these things and share them with listeners every week, it's been just a ton of fun, and it's been real educational for me, and I hope it has been for the listeners too on the national show. We've only been on the air there 3 years now, literally exactly 3 years a week ago when I retired from law enforcement is when we launched it, and we're on 72 stations already in 19 states.
Well, that's terrific. Now, I think you need to go cover more things in Hawaii, though.
I would love to do that. We did do one show in Hawaii, and I would love to find an excuse to go back.
I'll bet you would. So we want to talk about the Washington salmon fisheries, but particularly for our neck of the wood, if you can kind of fill us in there with the summer salmon fishery close to summer Chinook and sockeye. Basically, what's going on? What's going to happen here? What are anglers going to do in the meantime? And what does this mean economically? Well, particularly for our area, we had a lot of fishing guides around here. What does this mean? How did it happen?
Well, let's start off with what's going on. Like you said, there's not going to be any summer Chinook fishing on the upper Columbia River or any of the tributaries. There's not going to be any sockeye fishing either up near Brewster or the Okanagan River, and not at Lake Wenatchee, because there's just not a lot of Chinook that are coming upstream, and there's projected to be not a lot of sockeye either. So we might get a fall salmon fishery. That remains to be seen. That'll depend on how many fish start crossing Bonneville later this summer. As for steelhead, that's probably not going to happen either. We're looking at another real down year on both the Columbia and the Snake Rivers, and I don't expect to see any fishing on the Wenatchee, the Methow, or the upper Columbia for steelhead. So that's where we're at. How we got here is a whole other ball of worms, but there are some real economic impacts. Like you said, there are fishing guides who make a living fishing for salmon every year, and this is going to really impact them. Some of them are suddenly becoming sturgeon guides, or they're becoming kokanee guides, or they're becoming walleye guides. They're adapting. That's what guides have to do in this environment these days. But, you know, a lot of people just want to go catch a salmon. And when they can't do that, well, that's lost money for our guides. And then there's all the other stuff, too. There's the hotels that people stay at, because a lot of these clients for the guides are coming from Western Washington. And so the hotels are suffering, the gas stations are suffering, the stores are suffering, restaurants are suffering. It is a real hit when we lose fisheries like this.
Does this put more pressure then on, you know, say the kokanee up on Lake Chelan, or does the activity shift to something else to make up for it, or and are there ramifications there?
Well, what happens is in the few places where there still are salmon seasons open, or where there's steelhead seasons open, you'll see a lot of the guides there. You'll see a lot of the recreational anglers there without guides, and it puts a ton of pressure on those areas. As for fisheries like the kokanee fishery, you know, there's so many kokanee in Lake Chelan, it can handle the pressure right now. On the other hand, you have species like landlocked Chinook salmon in Lake Chelan that if those become targeted on a regular basis, that could take a real hit in a hurry. Their population's not nearly as robust as the kokanee population. So there are other options available. You know, there is a sturgeon fishery, but there is a quota for the sturgeon fishery at Lake Roosevelt. And once that quota is reached, that's going to shut down, except for catch and release fishing. So, yeah, there's definitely impacts to the fish beyond the salmon when these sort of things happen.
So I'll ask my first naive question, if I didn't already give myself away as a Don Fisher here. Okay. So you said landlocked sockeye salmon up in Lake Chelan?
Well, we have actually two species. So kokanee.
Yeah, I thought they were one and the same.
The kokanee or landlocked sockeye, but we also have landlocked Chinook salmon.
Okay.
That are up at Lake Chelan.
So what's the difference?
Different species.
Okay.
You know, Chinook is one species. Kokanee is another species. You know, when we refer to Chinook, we're usually referring to king salmon, as they're called in Alaska, that will go out to sea and they'll stay out to sea four, five, 6 years before coming back. The sockeye, which are a lot smaller, generally just go out to sea and come back in 2 years. But at Lake Chelan, they're landlocked. They're not migrating. In the rivers, they do migrate to the sea and come
sure.
back.
Will we have a coho fishery on the Columbia this year?
We are expecting a fishery this year. That's wonderful news. However, whether we're going to see the benefits of that on the upper Columbia remain to be seen. So there's going to be a lot of coho up and down the coast. There's going to be a lot of coho in Puget Sound, though a lot of anglers in the Sound won't be able to take advantage of it because there's going to be such low returns of Chinook in the area. They want to protect the killer whales, that a lot of fishing will close this summer when it would normally be prime time for coho. As for the upper Columbia, big question mark on whether we're going to see that or not. I think the fishery managers, even if there are a lot of coho, they're going to be looking at the Chinook numbers. If the Chinook numbers are too low, we may not get a coho fishery, but we'll have to see what happens.
So I asked you first, how did we get here? I guess weather is a factor. Protecting the orca population is another factor. But what about those darn pesky sea lions down there by the dam in the mouth of the Columbia?
Well, I think it's human nature to want to blame one thing and say, if we can do this one thing, all the fish will come back. And so you generally see that with what I call dam breachers. You know, if we could just blow up the dams and all the fish would come back. But it's not that simple. It's really not. There's a wide variety of things that are causing what we're at today. So some of them are the dams, but some dams do a really good job. Rocky Reach Dam does a fantastic job of moving fish downstream and upstream. Some of the Snake River dams, they don't do quite as well. They're actually barging fish around the dams. And that's not nearly as efficient, and that's not nearly as successful. So you have the dams are an issue. You have predation from fish and from sea mammals, like sea lions, like you said. The sea lions are eating the adult salmon and steelhead that are coming back, and they're having a great time doing so down all the way from Astoria to Bonneville Dam. You have birds like terns and cormorants that are eating the smolt as they go downstream. You have fish like northern pike minnow, also walleye, that are eating the smolt as they go downstream too. So it's a tough life being a salmon or steelhead. You've got to get through a lot, and you've got to make it back through a lot to survive. And then on top of all that, there's this blob up in Alaska, and that has really hurt fisheries, not just on the Upper Columbia River, but all the way from Northern California up into Alaska itself.
What about the commercial fishery? What's happening there this summer?
So the commercial fisheries are being limited just like the recreational fisheries are. I mean, there are national and international fisheries. There's the Pacific Fisheries Management Council. They set seasons. You have the states that are setting seasons, too. So it's not just the recreational anglers that suffer when this happens. Everybody suffers in terms of the amount of fish they're allowed to harvest when we have bad years. And I should go back and really explain about this blob. It's this mass of warm water that showed up in the Gulf of Alaska in 2013. And it really affected the forage fish that were available there. And when there was no forage fish, the salmon that are out in the ocean and are heading up into that area, they don't have anything to feed on. And so we started seeing this in 2015 when pink salmon and coho came back, and they were really small and really skinny, and it just went downhill from there to where we're now seeing the last effects of this blob, which fortunately mainly dissipated back in 2016, with these horrible Chinook runs. So I guess the good news is about that factor is that we've probably hit bottom, and we should see better results next year.
And I didn't ask, by the way, we're talking with John Cruz, who's the host and producer of Northwestern Outdoors Radio and America Outdoors Radio. By the way, we'll tell you when those programs air on KPQ. One of them's coming up tonight at 6 o'clock after the KPQ afternoon update. But, John, I didn't ask, now are the tribal fisheries, are they facing any curtailment of their seasons, from your knowledge?
I don't have a lot of knowledge of that. I do know that the tribes are allocated 50% of the available fish. So whatever is allocated for harvest, the tribes automatically get 50% of that. And they can go ahead and regulate their own fisheries how they choose to beyond that point. They're sovereign nations. This is by treaty. This is by the Bolt decision that came down in the 1970s. And that's the way it is. But again, on a run like this, in a year like this, whether you're tribal angler, commercial angler, recreational angler, or somebody who just wants to buy fresh salmon, whether it be a Pike Place market or Pybus market or in your local grocery store, it's going to be a tough year, and what's available is going to be really expensive.
Okay, I got to ask you a question. Copper River salmon. There's the Copper River up in Alaska. It seems to me that salmon tastes delicious. Is that a little bit more of a successful marketing, or is there really a difference with those fish?
You know, if you ask the people who live up there near the Copper River, they're going to tell you they've got the finest tasting sockeye in the world. I personally think it's a great marketing campaign. Having said that, sockeye caught anywhere are delicious. It is just a fantastic eating fish. And, again, if you can't get them, like we're not going to be able to get them this year in the Columbia, at least catch some kokanee. And Lake Chelan is a great place to catch a whole bunch of them, and there's a lot of local guys who would be happy to take you out there for a trip.
Well, we feel for our local sports recreation fishery and the folks involved in that business, but then, like you said, it really trickles down to so much of our hospitality and retail business around here. We hope that folks will go do something else around here that involves those businesses. Do you have any statistics? I won't put you on the spot if you don't, but it is big business around here.
I don't have statistics. I can tell you it is a multi-million dollar business. There have been studies that have been done about the trickle-down effect recreation when it comes to fishing and hunting. And it's nationwide, it's billions of dollars. You know, here in the Wenatchee Valley, I'm quite certain it's tens of thousands, if not several hundred thousand dollars every year that's spent by anglers and hunters and people who recreate outdoors that come to the Wenatchee Valley.
Well, we hope nobody puts off a purchase that they would otherwise make, but we'll see what happens. We'll keep our fingers crossed. You can listen to John coming up tonight with Northwestern Outdoors Radio starting at 6 o'clock, and then, of course, America Outdoors Radio and the Northwestern programs both run on Saturday and Sundays in the morning, so be listening for that this weekend as well. Remember what's on tap for this weekend's programs?
Northwestern Outdoors tonight, we're going to talk to Shelby Ross. He's a local guide out at Potholes Reservoir. He'll talk about the walleye fishing in the basin. Talking to Chad Calder from Port Hardy, B.C. He's an outfitter up there. He's got a very promising report about salmon fishing that's taking place up there. And we're going to talk to somebody from Wyoming Game and Fish. They actually have a shed antler season. In other words, the antlers that elk and deer shed during the winter, they've actually got a season for them, and opening day is quite a sight.
Okay. Well, John, again, congratulations on the success of both programs. We're happy to have them on part of our KPQ lineup. And thanks for taking a little time out and keeping it kind of in layman's terms, particularly for those of us that aren't fishermen but are well aware of that this is a kind of an unfortunate development for our area, but hopefully it bounces back next year. Sounds like it may.
I am hopeful that we're going to have a much better year next year, and I think in the years beyond. We just have to get through this rough patch, and this is probably the roughest patch this year.
Okay. Appreciate your time on the program today. Thank you, John.
You bet. Bye-bye.
John Cruz joining us today on the agenda. We'll take a look at some numbers on the employment front next on the agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560, KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Well, welcome back to The Agenda, News Radio 560, KPQ, and joining us is Don Messick, who's the regional labor economist with the Employment Security Department, kind of covering our neck of the woods, and time for kind of a timely look at our unemployment picture and kind of the labor market, what's happening here, a little focus on the Chelan and Douglas County picture, and welcome to the program. Well, welcome back to Wenatchee, Don.
Thank you for asking, Dave.
Appreciate it. You kind of do a snapshot on this, and what's been happening over the last year here?
Well, I think to kind of put it in a nutshell, we say in the Army, bottom line up front, you know, it was the non-farm employment growth last year was really great here in the two-county area, 2.9%, faster than the state, which grew at a 2.5% clip. However, the non-farm growth has been slowing a bit. We're still adding jobs, but for the last 7 months now, Dave, we've been growing at a slower pace than the state. The same looking at the unemployment rate. Last year set a seasonal low for the unemployment, and we're still doing relatively good in terms of our employment, but the rate's starting to creep up and has been creeping up now for the last five consecutive months, from December of last year, January, February, March, and April this year. By the way, we're talking about April data now, April 2019 data.
When Don is here, he brings us numbers. We always ask for a little bit of analysis, but as we look back, we had it was in the fall, the historic low reading for unemployment that they'd ever kept the records.
Yes.
that we can look at. That was October?
Well, actually, the whole year on an annual average basis, our rate set a record. And last year, I think our rate dropped to 4.8%. It was 5.1% in 2017. So that was a 3/10 percentage point drop. And, you know, we started to compile data electronically back in 1990. Before that, we have to go back into the back rooms, into the green bar, what we call. But
does anyone ever do that?
They actually have occasionally, but it's not a pleasant task. You got to brush the cobwebs away and basically go into the archives.
And that prior to 1990, so now you're talking, that's 30 years back.
Yeah.
It's an entire different economy then. So it's really not much perspective to be gained there, perhaps.
Right, right. And, you know, we've gone so much electronic lately with compiling and analyzing data that, you know, the takeaway is that last year's unemployment rate was a 28-year low, at least, back to 1990. So, you know, it's good news. And the unemployment rate, like many other economic indicators, doesn't tell the whole story by any means. But it certainly does give a quick snapshot, a quick update of the local economy.
Well, Don, again, often when we have you here of late, the story has been one of mixed review. We've got more folks entering the job market. We're creating more jobs, but we're also seeing some unemployment figures edge upwards a little bit. So give us some of the numbers and a little bit of analysis on what's behind this.
Sure. The most current monthly rates we have are for April, and our rate in the Wenatchee MSA, which is Chelan Douglas Counties, was 5.5%. It was 5.0% in April 2018, a 5/10 percentage point increase. And that's been the fifth month in a row now where our monthly rate has started to creep up year over year for the last five consecutive months, from December of last year, January, February, March of this year. So it's not a good trend. You know, we always like to see the unemployment rate fall. But on the other hand, it's not a total surprise either. You know, setting historic low rates, sooner or later the rate has to rise, and it is. But there's a little, silver cloud to that the dark news, and that's that the labor force growth is still quite good. Well, I went back and looked at how is our labor force growing.
Now, when you say labor force, that's the amount of people looking for a job or want to work?
Well, the labor force, Dave, is everybody in the labor force who's ready, willing, and able to work, 16 years of age and up. So once a person retires, they drop out. If they're a discouraged worker, they drop out. But the number of discouraged workers now is much lower than, say, during the recession. Retirees or people approaching retirement age, baby boomers, are actually staying in the labor force longer for multiple reasons. So, and also the big thing on labor force is based on place of residence. Whereas when we look at the employment numbers, the non-farm employment or the covered employment, it's based on, we're counting jobs by place of work. So, but the labor force has been growing now in the two-county area. Actually, the Wenatchee MSA civilian labor force has been expanding for the past 22 months. And for most of the last year, I think 9 out of 12 months, we've actually been, our labor force has been growing a little bit faster than the states. What does that mean? Well, people are still positive on the economy. They're still entering the labor force in the two-county area.
Where are the jobs? What are the jobs here? If you want to have a job, you want to come here, you want to be in an industry that is hiring or is the field to be in, is construction still taking off, or is that slow a little bit? Is the government sector really... I know that retail or the hospitality industry, these are all, they're all kind of ebbing and flowing at different times over the last couple of years.
They do, but I think, you know, you hit one, construction, that's been going gangbusters for the most part here in the two-county area. In fact, year over year, our employment in Wenatchee's construction area has been either stabilized year over year or risen for past 36 months, for 3 years. So that's been going, construction has been and still is performing relatively well. We've hit a few months where it just stabilized year over year, but remember, we're comparing a good year, or I say, you know, this year with last year, which was a great year. So, but construction's been looking good, and I think health services has been another area that's been doing quite well. In fact, if I was to look at the what we call private education and health services, we lump those two industries together. Private education is not really the big player. We're talking primarily health services. But year over year, health services here in the two-county area has risen for 77 consecutive months. So definitely a growth industry. The state, health services, 111 consecutive months of growth. So that's been quite a good industry. And another, leisure and hospitality. Leisure and hospitality, had trouble getting that out there. Leisure and hospitality has been growing for the past 19 months. So we've got, you know, several industries faring quite well.
Unemployment, just I'm looking at Don provides these reports. We get a chance to peek at it. The unemployment figure in March was, 6.6%, 5.5% in April. Mm-hmm. And that's been about a typical 1 point change over the last couple of years. You've typically seen that. So we come out of late spring into rather mid-spring into late spring. Places start hiring. Exactly. That's typical, correct?
Yes, we're a very seasonal economy here, Dave. And the unemployment data that I know our listeners can't see, but we can because we're in the studio looking at the graphs, you notice the similarity in the unemployment rates or the trend. Basically, the rates usually are at a high point in roughly in January of each year. Then the rate drops continually down to the one of the low points of the year in July. That's a cherry harvest. Rises a little bit in August. That's the lull between the cherry and apple harvest. And then the rate drops again in September and October to low levels before shooting upward November, December, January. So that's the general trend in unemployment rates. But what I tend to do to compare one year to the other, I look at year-over-year trends. Specifically, how are we doing this April versus last April, this March versus last March?
All righty, thank you. Take a quick break here and get back to the conversation with Don Messick, our regional labor economist, on The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Back with our final minutes here now with Don Messick on The Agenda. All righty, this is an agriculture-based economy here, and, of course, all the news with the trade wars going on out there. Are you already seeing an impact in some of the farm labor or farm statistics in ag, Don?
Well, not so much yet. And one of the reasons is when we capture our current employment, we do not get estimates for agriculture. And that's not just in the two-county Wenatchee MSA. That's statewide. That's national. So the current jobs report that comes out every month is derived from what we call a current employment statistics sample. But ag employers, per se, are not in that sample. What we do capture, however, are industries directly dependent on agriculture, such as food processing, wholesale trade, fresh fruit packing houses, transportation, trucking. Now, we do get agricultural employment data on an annual average basis, but as far as the current estimates, unfortunately, we don't get those estimates for well, basically every state in the union.
But empirically, maybe the empirical evidence, but we know as our ag succeeds and does well, all those people, if we're selling less of this or less of that, those people, they don't have that money to go spend in other aspects of our economy, particularly maybe retail, or maybe they're not buying vehicles or what have you. So it does have an impact that trickles into other parts of our economy that maybe you do track ultimately with hiring, for instance.
You hit the nail right on the head. When I look at ag, now we do have agricultural employment historically. Right now, the most current ag employment we have for Chelan County and for Douglas County is for 2017. By the way, the end of this month, we should get 2018 data, what we call QCEW, Quarterly Census Employment Wage Data. But just so happens, I have available the number of agricultural jobs that has been gained over the last 10 years in Chelan County and in Douglas counties. And agriculture in Chelan County, for example, if I look at the 22 different industry categories we have, agriculture added in a 10-year period from 2007 to 17 in Chelan County 1,382 jobs. That's the second industry in adding the most jobs, right behind health services, which added a little over 1,500. In Douglas County, agriculture was the top industry. It added 488 jobs.
Over that 10-year period.
Over that 10-year period.
Okay.
And
so fairly stable, really, so, over
yeah,
a 10-year.
Well, there is some variance, yeah. You know, with crops, a good crop, a bad crop, a good cherry harvest, a bad cherry harvest. But the 10-year trend kind of tells us that if we really count jobs out of 22 industries, which and here we do pick up agriculture in the quarterly census employment and wage data set. We pick up agriculture, manufacturing, health services, accommodation food services. Agriculture has been the first or the second leading job generator in Chelan or Douglas County. It was actually number two in Chelan County, number one right across the river in Douglas County.
It's king.
When you look at the data, that's what it tells you.
All right. Well, Don, we'll be putting some of your charts up on our website here as soon as we get those tables turned around digitally and get them up on the website soon.
Great.
Here. But, Ed, have a safe weekend, and we'll see everybody back on Monday on News Radio 560 KPQ.